Chapter 7. At Forest Park. Campers increasing in numbers, and the exercises growing more interesting. Special Correspondence of the Capital. Forest Park, Ottawa, Kansas, May 7. The high winds and dust made life at the opening of the meeting somewhat disagreeable, but the campers have now made their quarters more comfortable, and the work of the Institute in session is progressing favorably. Over 350 ministers, licentiates, Bible workers, officers of churches, and other teachers, with their families, are already on the grounds, and with the visitors, fill the assembly room uncomfortably at most all the conventions. Nearly everyone carries tablets and pencils, and full notes of all the class exercises and reports of sermons and lectures are taken, those attending being better able to do this now, because of the instruction received daily in the reporting class, to which all on the ground nearly now belong. Below we give reports of the day's work. The second session of the Institute class showed an increase in membership and interest in those who attended. The subjects of evils of religious legislation was continued, the basis from which governments acquire their just powers, as elucidated in the lecture of the previous evening, was further discussed. It was demonstrated that no government has any right to interfere in any way with a man's exercise of his religion, or to legislate in reference to it, even though a religion may necessitate the sacrifice of human life. The state in such a case can prevent the human sacrifice because it is an uncivil act, and if committed, can punish for the murder under the civil law forbidding murder, but it cannot legislate to forbid the man from exercising his religion, or can his religion come into question in any court of law. The very party who argue for a Sunday observance law and its religious observance realize this fact, and in applying for a law, ask for a civil observance of the day, as courts cannot legislate on religious questions. It was further shown that governments cannot afford to legislate upon Sunday laws because it binds men who do so to forever surrender their right to believe. That the great mistake is made that they fail to see man has no right to legislate in favor of what he believes, as well as not to legislate against his belief, or in other words, that true religious liberty is the assertion of other people's right to believe what they please. A man has no right, of course, to be an infidel, but he is responsible alone to God. If he chooses to be an infidel, he has, so far as government is concerned, the right to be one, or anything else he pleases. Sunday legislators assert their right to keep Sunday, but wish to force their neighbors to do so also, yet think they are asking for religious liberty. But if successful, the enforcement of their views upon others can be only tyranny or despotism. The WCTU wanted us to agree to help them get a Sunday law, and then they would give us an exemption clause. That is, you help us to fasten Sunday upon others, and we will exempt you. But this would be toleration simply, not religious liberty. The Bible class that followed investigated the subject of Bible work, it being the object of these meetings, to learn how best to carry Christ's message to the world. The meeting was then taken in charge by Elder Shireman, the head of the mission at Kansas City, Missouri, and the class spent an hour in the discussion of the best methods to interest the world in seeking for the truths that are vital to our times.